ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, chapter entitled Narada Muni Cursed by Prajapati Daksha. Text number 21. Iti Vyavasita Rajan Haryashva Eka Chetasa Prayayus Tam Parikramya Pantanam Anivartanam Itivyavasita Rajan Itivyavasita Rajan Haryashva Eka Chetasa Haryashva Eka Chetasa Prayayustang Parikramya Prayayustang Parikramya Pantanamanivartanam Itivyavasita Rajan Haryashva Eka Chetasa Prayayustang Parikramya Pantanamanivartanam. Itivyavasita Rajan Haryashva Eka Chetasaha Stang Parikramya Pantanamanivartanam. Itivyavasita Rajan Haryashva Eka Chetasa Prayayustang Parikramya Pantanamanivartanam. Rajan
Ladies,
iti thus, vyavasita, being fully convinced by the instructions of Narada Muni, Rajan, O King, Haryashva, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, Eka Chetasa, all being of the same opinion, Prayayu, left, Tam Narada Muni, Parikramya, circumambulating, Pantanam, on the path, Anivartanam, which does not bring one back again to this material world. Translation. Shukadeva Goswami continued, My dear King, After hearing the instructions of Narada, the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in his instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. From this verse, we can understand the meaning of initiation and the duties of a disciple and spiritual master. The spiritual master never instructs his disciple, "Take a mantra from me, pay me some money, and by practicing this yoga system you will become very expert in materialistic life." This is not the duty of a spiritual master. Rather, the spiritual master teaches the disciple how to give up materialistic life. And the disciple's duty is to assimilate his instructions and ultimately follow the path back home, back to Godhead, from whence no one returns to this material world. After hearing the instructions of Narada Muni, the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, decided not to be entangled in materialistic life by begetting hundreds of children and having to take care of them. This would have been unnecessarily entangling. The Haryashvas did not consider pious and impious activities. Their materialistic father had instructed them to increase the population, but because of the words of Narada Muni, they could not heed that instruction. Narada Muni, as their spiritual master, gave them the Shastric instructions that they should give up this material world, and as bona fide disciples, they followed his instructions. One should not endeavor to wander to different planetary systems within this universe. For even if one goes to the topmost planetary system, Brahmalok, one must return again. Chine punye martyalo kung vishanti. The endeavors of karmis are a useless waste of time. One should endeavor to return home, back to Godhead. This is the perfection of life. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, "Ah Brahma Bhuvana Loka, Punar Arvar Tenorjuna, Mamu Petya Tu Kaunteya, Punar Janma Navidyate." From the highest planet in the material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O son of Kunti, never takes birth again. Text again. Itivyavasita rajan haryashva ekachetasaha prayustung parikramya pantanam anivartanam. Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear king, after hearing the instructions of Narada, the Haryashvas, the sons of Prajapati Daksha, were firmly convinced. They all believed in his instructions and reached the same conclusion. Having accepted him as their spiritual master, they circumambulated that great sage and followed the path by which one never returns to this world." Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnanam Jana Shalakaya Chakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deva Gauravani Pracharani Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschatya Desha Tarani.
So we are very fortunate today to have the opportunity to discuss Srimad Bhagavatam in the Association of Pure Devotees of the Lord. So the story of Prajapati Daksha, continuing here. Prajapati Daksha was charged with increasing the population. So he had 1,000 sons in the womb of his wife. And those 1,000 sons, he instructed them to increase the population further. So the Haryashvas were very dutiful sons, and they considered how best to carry out the instruction of their father, who they considered to be their master. So they decided that they should go and perform austerities in order to become qualified to increase the population and raise, have good children, so they would be, the world would be all auspicious for the future generations. So they dutifully, they went to the sacred spot on the banks of the Sindhu River, and they began to perform austerities. It was a very holy place. There were many saintly persons there. And Narada Muni, he came to understand that the Haryashvas were with a very simple heart, were trying to carry out the instruction of their father. So he had some idea that perhaps they were qualified to accept a higher instruction. So Narada Muni went to them and began to instruct them about the path of Nivritti Marg, about the path of renunciation, about the, here is described as Pantanam Anivartanam, last line here, Pantanam Anivartanam, the path which does not bring one back to this material world. The path one follows, one goes beyond this material world and does not take any future birth. So he instructed the Narada Muni instructed the Haryashvas about this, the Shastric injunction. Of course, there are also Shastric injunctions that one should follow the order of one's material father. But a higher Shastric injunction is to follow the order of the Shastra and the spiritual master. So Narada Muni instructed them in this higher Shastric injunction. And they heard his instruction very attentively. And after he completed his instructions, here is described that they were all fully convinced, Vyavasita. They heard the instructions and they were fully convinced. So, and they decided, being fully convinced of the instructions of Narada Muni, they accepted him as their spiritual master. They worshipped him by circumambulation. And then they proceeded on to take up the path to go back home, back to Godhead. So one may ask, well, what about the instructions of the Father? The Father is also a kind of spiritual master. Why they didn't follow the instructions of their Father? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that actually the real Father is not the material, mundane Father. The real Father is Shastra. So if one follows Shastra under the guidance of a spiritual master, then he is following his real Father. He's following his real authorities, his real predecessors. And if one does that, one no longer has any obligation to follow the instructions of lesser authorities, such as the ancestors, father, mother, school teachers, government officials. These are all ordinary authorities. Not transcendental authorities. But if one is following the order of Shastra, then he's correctly situated and he needs not follow any lesser instructions. So we see from this story that the Haryashvas, 1,000 sons of Daksha, they were all of the same opinion. There was no disagreement among them. They heard from Narada Muni, and they decided, yes. Collectively they decided, we are going to follow the instructions of Narada Muni. This is a very nice example of simplicity. The Haryashvas were simple-hearted. They were not crooked. They were simple-hearted. They were born and they grew up and they had their father gave them instruction, and they didn't doubt their father's instruction. They didn't question their father. Simply, they went to undertake austerities in order to follow their father's instruction. They were simple in heart. And when they heard a higher instruction from Narada Muni, just as simply, they accepted Narada Muni's instructions, and they undertook the Nivritti Marg. So this is Shravalata, simplicity. It's described Shravalata ei Vaishnavata in Bengali. Simplicity is Vaishnavism. A pure devotee, a pure Vaishnava, he is very simple in heart. He does not have any crookedness, any kapatya. Kapatya doesn't exist in a pure Vaishnava. He's very simply accepts the instruction of the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master and follows without any duplicity. Crookedness, kapatya, is a very great hindrance on the path of bhakti. The Haryashas had no kapatya and they were completely successful. But kapatya can be is a big hindrance. So we should understand what is this kapatya. Suppose you've been traveling for a few days and you just come back to Radha Rasbihari temple. And that day there's a big festival, big feast, and you have a big belly and you're very hungry after traveling. So the Vrindavan hall, everyone sits down in Vrindavan hall in rows to take prasadam, and the servers are coming. The first time they come, one helping to everyone. They come around again for seconds. So you've had your first, but you're still hungry. And you're thinking, oh, if I take more, then people will criticize me as being greedy. So even though the servers are coming and offering me more, and it says, no, I'm full. You're still hungry, but you're saying, no, I'm full. I don't want to take any more. This is kapatya. It's prasadam. You're being offered. You're hungry. You should take. Be simple. This is simplicity. You all may experience in your school days there was mathematics class. So in mathematics class, some are very bright and they understand immediately the subject matter of mathematics. And others may be a little dull. Take some time to understand. So the teacher makes a presentation about mathematics, explains the process of adding, subtracting, multiplying, dividing, whatever, square roots, integrals, so many things are there in mathematics. So he's giving a lecture, and then he explains one thing, and he stops, and he turns to the class, and says, so does everyone understand? And the dullard, he's sitting there and thinking, oh, he's looking around. Everyone else is nodding their head. Yes, they understand. So he also nods his head. Yes, I understand. He doesn't want to appear to be foolish. That's his kapatya. So the result, he doesn't understand mathematics. So we should be simple. We should avoid these. Avoid this kapatya. Similarly, Bhagavatam class, any questions? Any doubts? Don't be shy to raise your hand and ask, what is my doubt? I have some doubt. It should be clarified. Later. when you're asked. So we should be prepared to inquire. We should be prepared to even if people think we're foolish. We should present ourselves as fool in front of the world. So otherwise, how we'll learn? If we don't present ourselves as foolish, how we'll learn? It's also described that it's very easy to wake up a sleeping person. Some noise is there and they'll wake up. But it's very difficult to wake up a person who's pretending to be asleep. You say so many things and he'll just pretend to be asleep. So he will not wake up, or so-called wake up. So we should... We should give up this kapatya. Be very simple. Sarvalata e Vaishnavata. Krishna is described as patita pavana, right? Patita pavana, not kapata pavana. Krishna is not kapata pavana. If someone presents themselves as, oh, I'm a very great devotee, so Krishna says, okay, you're a great devotee, fine. I don't need to help you. You're already there, successful. Only if one accepts oneself as very fallen and approaches the Lord, like the Haryashvas approached Narada Muni, then he can get proper instructions. But if one thinks, oh, I'm a very great devotee, pretending to be a great devotee, then Krishna will not help, will not give his mercy. So if you want to make a show of thinking, I understand Krishna consciousness, I understand Prabhupada's books, I understand Srila Prabhupada, I know who is Krishna, then you'll not get the mercy of Krishna. Should always maintain a humble position. Yes, I don't know anything. One has to, like the Haryashvas, one has to accept the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee. Only then can one understand spiritual life. Without accepting the lotus feet of a devotee, it's not possible. You may read so many books, listen to so many lectures, but it won't help you to achieve the ultimate success unless you accept the lotus feet of a devotee. Prahlad Maharaj describes this very nicely, 7th canto, Prabhupada's purport, especially nice in this regard. Prahlad Maharaj is speaking here. Naishang matistavada rukramangrim sprishatyanartha pagamo yadartha nahiya sangpara rajobishekam nishkinchananam navrinita yavat. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnava, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. Only by surrendering to the Lord through a Vaishnava can you become free from contamination. Srila Prabhupada's purport, very appropriate. Becoming Krishna conscious brings about anartha apagama, the disappearance of all anarthas, the miserable conditions we have unnecessarily accepted. The material body is the basic principle of these unwanted materialist miserable conditions. The entire Vedic civilization is meant to relieve one from these unwanted miseries, but persons bound by the laws of nature do not know the destination of life. As described in the previous verse, Isha Tantram Urudamni Badha, they are conditioned by the three strong modes of material nature. The education that keeps the conditioned soul bound life after life is called materialistic education. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that materialistic education expands the influence of Maya. Such an education induces the conditioned soul to be increasingly attracted to materialistic life and to stray further and further away from liberation from unwanted miseries. One may ask why highly educated persons do not take to Krishna consciousness. Highly educated persons do not take. The reason is explained in this verse. Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide, fully Krishna conscious spiritual master, there is no chance of understanding Krishna. The educators, scholars, and big political leaders worshipped by millions of people cannot understand the goal of life and take to Krishna consciousness, for they have not accepted a bona fide spiritual master and the Vedas. Therefore, in the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Navedhaya Na Bahuna Shutena. One cannot become self-realized simply by having an academic education, by presenting lectures in an erudite way, or by being an intelligent scientist who discovers many wonderful things. One cannot understand Krishna unless one is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only one who has surrendered to a pure devotee of Krishna and taken the dust of his lotus feet can understand Krishna. First, one must understand how to get out of the clutches of Maya. The only means is to become Krishna conscious. And to become Krishna conscious very easily, one must take shelter of a realized soul, a Mahat or Mahatma, whose only interest is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. Yasya devi para bhaktir yata devi tathagato tasyaiti katita hyarta prakashante mahatmana. Only under those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge ultimately automatically revealed. These are Vedic injunctions. One must take shelter of a self-realized spiritual master, not a materially educated scholar or politician. One must take shelter of a nishkinchana, a person engaged in devotional service and free from material contamination. That is the way to return home back to Godhead. So some people think, I don't need to accept the bona fide spiritual master. I can read books, but if you say you want to become a doctor, so then you read all the medical books, and then can you practice as a doctor? Can you start practice as a doctor? Can you put up a sign, Dr. So-and-so, and practice? No. Government will come and arrest you. Why? Because you haven't gone to the medical college and heard from the teachers. So just reading books alone is not going to make you Krishna conscious. You have to take shelter of a devotee. And don't let anyone tell you anything to the contrary. Oh, I can just read Prabhupada's books. Oh, I can take initiation from some rubber stamp guru. But I don't have to actually have to search for a pure devotee. I don't have to be anxious to take the dust from the lotus feet of Vaishnavas. Now this is kapatya. This is cheating. One must take shelter of the lotus feet of a pure devotee. There is no alternative. Srila Prabhupada is very clear. Some people think, well, my guru may fall down, but I still have Srila Prabhupada. How is that? How can you think that your guru may fall down? If you think that your guru may fall down, then you're not a disciple. You haven't surrendered to the lotus feet of a spiritual master. One must become very greedy. I must have the association of a bona fide spiritual master. I must have association of a pure devotee of the Lord. You have to cry for that. Unless you cry for that, you cannot get. Not possible. Unless you cry, you'll just think, oh, I can make a show of being a devotee. And I get so much respect. This will not help. One has to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. So these are some lessons from this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam. Any questions, comments? Devakinandan Prabhu, was there a microphone? Anivartana means one, not returning. Means Vaikuntha.
Did they go to Vaikuntha?
Yeah.
My question is, after being instructed by Narad Muni, and when they fix their mind, the Cheta, in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they did Prakarma to Narad Muni, and they went.
Right.
So, Panthanam Anivartanam. So they took the path of Vaikuntha. Means did they go there or they went to preach? That is also, you know, Panthanam Anivartanam. Preaching is also Vaikuntha path.
Yes, but that was Satya Yuga.
My question is, where did they go after meeting Narad Muni?
It's not described. The commentaries, as far as I know, is not described. They may have just stayed there and continued their austerities. But they changed their path. They changed the path through the, not the path of becoming materially successful, but the path of going back home, back to Godhead. Prashna?
I have one more question. You are asking that a disciple should not be foolish, thinking that a spiritual master will fall down. That part is fine. But he should not also be foolish that even if a spiritual master has fallen down, still he thinks that he is pure devotee.
He may still be a devotee, but he may have fallen from his position purely practicing Krishna. There may be some disturbance in his practice, but he may still be a devotee.
But the devotee should have intelligence. He should have discrimination, right? When to follow, when to not follow.
Well, he may no longer be his Shiksha Guru. He may no longer be qualified to give instruction.
Should he be rejected?
If he's still a devotee, we don't reject the devotee. We may search for instruction elsewhere. But we don't totally reject someone who's still a devotee. And the only description in Shastra as to where someone can reject a spiritual master is if he was a Kula Guru. From the beginning, he was not a devotee.
But you have heard that on three ways one can reject. If he has fallen and observing sense gratification, presenting Mayabad Siddhanta, and other one, and yeah, he became too offensive.
And what?
He becomes too offensive.
One may reject his, one may not no longer take his association. But if he was a devotee at the time, giving initiation, then one does not reject that initiation, because according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, if you take initiation from a devotee, then Krishna accepts you. And then whoever takes initiation is described, he's Atma-sam. He becomes like Krishna.
Then why do we have this system in this kind of reinitiation?
Reinitiation is okay. That terminology is okay. But it means reaffirmation. In the way we use it, it means reaffirmation. Okay. We no longer can take association from that Vaishnava. So we choose another one. But in order to, I want to reaffirm my vows. But that doesn't mean that one has rejected the first initiation. Unless he was not a Vaishnava to begin with.
Hare Krishna. Yes, Daksha Prajapati was empowered by Lord himself to increase the population. Am I correct? Yes, Daksha Prajapati, he was empowered by Lord himself to increase the population. Am I correct?
Approached by?
Yes, Daksha Prajapati was empowered by Lord himself to increase the population. Am I correct?
Yes.
So, he instructed his 10,000 Haryaswas to create the progeny.
Yes.
In doing so, he was not acting on his own. He was acting on behalf of Krishna. So, where is the need to ignore his instructions for the children?
The instruction from Daksha was certainly... He was an authorized authority for the Haryashvas. But that was an authorized instruction. If they had followed it, there would have been no sin. But they were instructed by Narada Muni in a higher instruction. And by following that higher instruction, the Prajapati, all the forefathers are automatically satisfied. If one worships Krishna, then one automatically fulfills all one's material obligations. So their obligation to him was satisfied. Not that they didn't reject Prajapati Daksha, their father. They accepted a higher instruction, and automatically all their other obligations were fulfilled. They didn't commit any offense to Daksha.
But then why it is mentioned in the purport, their father was materialistic? He was a materialistic father.
Vedas also promote materialistic life. Certain sections of the Vedas do promote material life in a religious way. But other sections of the Vedas, that's pravritti marg. Pravritti marg means you in a religious way you conduct your materialistic activities and become materially advanced. Pravritti marg means that you give up materialistic life and go back home, back to Godhead. Both are authorized by Shastra. But one is higher than the other.
Prabhu, okay. I have one more question. See, I understand that this ISKCON mission will be in force for next 10,000 years. correct. This ISKCON will continue for another 10,000 years, next 10,000 years.
I don't know anywhere that Prabhupada said that. He said the Krishna consciousness movement would continue for 10,000 years. He didn't specifically say ISKCON would continue.
But anyone knows this, whether it is a correct? See, this ISKCON movement, Krishna conscious movement will be active for next 10,000 years. Anyone is aware? See.
Who can say? But the Krishna conscious movement is going to be prominent in this Kali Yuga for much more than 10,000 years. All the way to the end of Kali Yuga, it will be prominent. Krishna consciousness movement. Because and it will manifest in many different ways.
What I wanted to ask is, you see, as it is, there are shortage of devotees in many temples. Suppose a spiritual master instructs the brahmacharis that they should increase the devotee population. So should they obey them or not?
That instruction from a spiritual master does not have to be followed. I believe that Srila Prabhupada said that in one place. That instruction does not have to be followed. In other words, it's understood to be an instruction that is not the highest instruction of the spiritual master.
Okay, Guru, Hare Krishna.
Nima.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhuji. So, I had read once, Prabhuji, in one place it is mentioned, either by some Acharya or in some Shastra it is mentioned that this movement, Krishna consciousness movement, will continue for 10,000 years. I have read it somewhere. So it is mentioned, it's not just Prabhupada said by chance, like, you know, just out of feeling. So it is mentioned somewhere. And the second, Prabhuji, regarding Devkinandan Prabhu's question, you are mentioning that, because as I understood that he was speaking a little different context and which you were addressing was different context. You were answering on a broader perspective that as a Vaishnava, the spiritual master who has stepped down from the standard, so we don't reject him, but at the same time for reaffirmation.
But at the same time what?
For reaffirmation.
One may want to sit in a fire sacrifice and reaffirm one's vows. That is okay.
So in this case, Prabhuji, then the disciple, he will follow whom? Because he has to follow the instructions of spiritual master, because he is engaging him in the service of Krishna, and he is engaging in the service of mission of Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which will actually bring purification. So to whose instructions he will... Because
whose instruction should I follow?
Yeah.
Whose instruction should I follow? You
My
tell
spiritual
me.
Master instruction.
Huh?
Instruction of spiritual master.
And who's the best instructing spiritual master?
Now the second one.
Who's the best instructing spiritual master? Shri what does Chaitanya Charitamrita say? Shiksha Guru Ke Tajani Krishna Rasarup Antarjami Bhakta Shrestha A Dui Rup. Who's the best instructing spiritual master?
Krishna.
Krishna. We all follow Krishna. And Krishna manifests in so many forms. He manifests as Diksha Guru, Shiksha Guru, Vartma Pradarshika Guru, Vaishnava. So many, you know, the Brahman in the 11th canto, he saw Krishna manifesting in so many ways. So this is Krishna. We follow Krishna. What's the problem? Yeah.
Prabhuji, from two perspectives. First perspective of the organization. And second perspective of that famous shloka from Bhagavad Gita, 41st, from second chapter. Where Srila Prabhupada read Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. And then Prabhupada mentions that, you know, this shloka inspired me to finally, you know, make a final decision that I have to go out now, whatever may happen. So, and then Srila Prabhupada writes there that how the disciple should make the instruction of spiritual master as a life and soul. So from this perspective, number one. And number two is, the perspective of organization. If we are in an organization and we are preaching, so any spiritual master, so they all have mission under the different under Srila Prabhupada's view of ISKCON's development or this development of this movement. So the disciples are engaged accordingly. Of course, in the broader perspective, in the common goal of the movement of preaching far and wide. So then in this case, keeping these two perspectives in front, then the disciple has to follow the spiritual master. Many devotees feel that, okay, I am getting instructions from Krishna. So then it will be difficult to guide or organize.
One accepts a spiritual master because he is the external representative of Chaitanya Guru.
Yeah.
That is because we don't have the qualification in our conditioned state. We don't have the qualification to understand the instructions of Chaitanya Guru. So when Chaitanya Guru appears outside and it's confirmed from the heart, yes, this is the same voice that's been speaking inside, now he's appeared outside. So we surrender to that spiritual master. And then once one has accepted a spiritual master as, yes, this devotee is a representative for me of Chaitanya Guru, then if one receives further instruction, one should confirm it with the spiritual master. If one, okay, I'm inspired now by Chaitanya Guru to do this, so one can approach. One approaches the external manifestation, confirm, is this my mind or is this Chaitanya Guru speaking? And then get confirmation.
Yeah. So in this case, so the disciple will get the confirmation from whom? The first spiritual master or the second, where he took reinitiation or reaffirmation?
Krishna's external manifestation.
Out of the both, Prabhuji, whom?
Is he representing Krishna or not? Whoever is representing Krishna, he takes confirmation from him. Wherever Krishna's mercy is manifest, that's we take that.
So as I understand, the second spiritual master then. Because then only we are taking reinitiation, okay, because he is representing Krishna more purely. He's following and in very good standing, following purely, so rather than the first one. So now onwards I'll follow his instructions. Or
yes,
an inspiration is there, then I can always clarify with him.
One can accept a devotee as spiritual master and say, okay, he's my primary shiksha guru now.
Yeah,
I will follow him. He becomes the main guru for that devotee. The devotee confirms with him. Okay.
Thank you.
Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.